What it is, Clips fans, it's your dude, William the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
We got a heck of a show lineup for you
today.
Oh,
we're feeling great after last night.
Man, huge victory last night over the Warriors.
Damn straight.
You know, and people can say what they want. There's no asterisks in a victory, as
dubs
far as
dub.
I'm concerned.
Dubs
yeah,
a dub,
win is
baby.
A win. So we're going to start out with a recap of that. We're going to get into Tuesdays, which if you're not familiar, our Tuesday segment is Twitter Tuesdays. We're going to be talking about some stuff on the net.
A lot of stuff that happened last night to talk about.
Deep. And then we're going to just go over some of the games last night, get into a few like NBA matchups that were interesting. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great show. You guys are going
to
love it.
It's going to be a good one. We're give a shout out to all our new listeners as well. Locked On Clippers is here 5 days a week for you guys. Bringing that action. Very excited about it. Before we get into the fantastic victory from last night, we want to tell you guys about our newest partner here on Locked On. Metro Infinity at 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia, that's just off the 210, is the only dealer in California that is family-owned and has been in business for over 25 years.
It's very impressive.
I don't even like my family.
No, can't stand it.
One of our favorite parts about Metro Infinity is if you don't want to go to the dealership, which I know can be a pain, they will come to your work or home and bring you the paper to complete the transaction.
Drop the pin. They'll roll up on you. New car, new paperwork.
In a friendly way. Make sure to mention Locked On, and they'll give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti, or even in the market for a new car in general,
any car,
please give them a chance to earn your business. You will not regret it. They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinities. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Be sure to check out that brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with Navi with $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. So, let's get into the fantastic victory that happened last night against the Warriors.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's just give a quick stat breakdown. If you missed the game for whatever reason last night, if you were a doctor who had, you know, an emergency surgery, which is the only reason I can see missing this game, the Clippers won 121-116 for their first home win against the Warriors since Christmas of 2014.
So good.
Sweet. I was 4 years old when that happened, which I cannot believe.
Wait, we beat the Warriors last year, though. That was in the Bay?
In the Bay. What are you going to do? Lou almost proved me right. I said Lou was going to have 30 points. He had 25.
Yeah, you know what? I'm still going to call you right on this one because
I appreciate that.
He had, like, going into the second half, I think he had like 2 points.
As soon as I heard that, my eyes were like, oh, well, my prediction was wrong.
He really went off, though. He single-handedly clawed us back into this game.
He did. He scored our last 10 points. Trez had 23-7 and 4 blocks and like 50 million hustles, which is a new stat that he had to invent for Trez.
Oh, man. Every loose ball he was diving on.
Dude, I thought I was having, you know, in The Matrix when he sees the cat and they're like, that's deja vu. There's a glitch in The Matrix.
Yeah.
When he dove for a loose ball and then I swear 2 minutes after that was on the ground again, I was like
is my illegal stream getting chopped up?
Did I take the blue pill? What's going on right here? Shea had 18-5, continuing to blossom.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Ralph said it best. We're watching him grow up in front of our eyes.
He made a really smart read when he saw he was going to get blocked like he has been at the rim kind of recently. Great pass to Trez. It was easily like one of my favorite highlights of the entire game.
His arm, it was very Giannis-like. The amount of arm length and the movement was like, I didn't know a human body could do that. Let's get in really quick to what worked.
Absolutely. So Trez
worked.
Worked in so many ways. Like, worked, dude, physically, and just worked as in, like, it all gelled.
We're going to repeat ourselves a lot this season, and I'm so happy to. He is the glue that holds this team together. He is the heart and soul of this team right now.
Absolutely.
Everyone, he's not the best player on the team. I mean, sometimes he is.
Sometimes he is.
The game before this, he was.
Yeah.
This game, other than Lou, he maybe was. But his vibe, his energy, everyone feeds off of that.
Yeah, definitely.
He is the core of this team.
Definitely. And I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the matchup, but, like, you know, he is small for a center. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's actually shorter than Gallo is.
Yeah.
But yeah, against these, like, traditional small ball lineups, is that what we want to call them?
Yeah, that works.
I mean, I think that he is like the perfect foil to that.
Dude, he ate them up.
Yeah.
In the low post in general, we were just looking at the shot chart before this. We feasted down low.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, we doubled the amount of points in the paint that they had. Literally.
We had what?
36 to 62.
Jesus.
62 in the paint.
62 points, guys.
That's basketball anybody can get behind. Like, even an old man who's like, I hate all the threes and passing now.
He would love our team.
You could love this game.
Another
fool.
Another great offensive stat. Lou Williams, fantastic points. Scored our last 10 points of the game last night.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable. Also had 6 assists. We mentioned his playmaking ability, and he backed us up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even when he doesn't have the shot going, he can be great. There were, when we talk about the not worked things, some places where he maybe should have made plays instead of shots, but we'll get onto that. Gortat.
Dude, best game. I think he had his best game of the season halfway through the first.
Yeah, I think that we just need to continually just dump on him on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Hope that he gets benched every now and again, and then he'll come out and show out.
I do think the time off really helped him.
It's a recipe for success.
I think the time off kind of helped him kind of ease into like what maybe play style was going to happen. Because there was a lot up in the air this early still with center stuff.
Definitely. And this once again, though, I mean... You know, they say styles make fights. I feel like this is a really good matchup for Gortat to kind of to succeed.
Yeah, and his veteran savviness really helped us out. There was a possession, I want to say it was in the second half, we were dwindling on the shot clock, the possession looked kind of broken, and he just threw up this nice little 8-footer that went in and then immediately took a charge on the other end to get Durant another foul.
Can we talk about, just circling back to Trez, those 8-footers that he has, those 8 to 10 footers.
Dude, they're going every time.
That he just has in his pocket now. It's insane.
I tweeted
it's
it
so
out.
Much fun to watch.
I said, Trez and Baby Hooks name a better duo.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. We dominated the paint. Durant fouled out somehow, only the 5th time in his career.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, but I didn't really feel like this was bad officiating or anything.
He made some dumb fouls.
He made some dumb fouls, and like, I know that people are going to nitpick this win because of that, but like, you know, that's part of the game.
Deal with it.
That's part of the game, baby.
And the refs were also kind of chippy both ways.
I agree.
Both teams can kind of agree the refs were a little ass, if you will. Shea in the mid-range is amazing. Watching his coaching by Cassell is so wonderful to see.
Definitely.
Like, his release point is so high they couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
We beat them in turnovers, 15 to their 17.
Still not great.
Still won, though, which is fantastic. The team defense, our team is so annoying.
Oh, yeah.
That it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Warriors made so many unforced errors last night that were clearly like they were out of rhythm, or like our hands were in the passing lanes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It was just like, yes, I mean, this is going to annoy you. A rhythm team is really going to annoy you.
And we really eliminated them getting any like second chance points. I think they had all of 5,
man,
for the entire game.
My favorite highlight of the game, you'll probably agree with me on this, Draymond dribbles it down into the offensive zone for the Warriors. Shea blocks him. Draymond gets the ball back. Immediately gets blocked by Trez again.
Oh, yeah.
For the second time that game, Trez got the block on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tweeted this out, but like I could watch I could watch Trez and Dre go at it just all day long.
So what didn't go wrong? Or go right, excuse me.
The 3-point shooting. I think we should start there.
We shot 5 for 20 from 3.
Yeah.
Not a good.
Really bad. We shot, 25%.
But got the dub.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still bad. I'm not saying we should rely on
it. It kind of went both ways, though, because I feel like the Warriors had a little bit of an off shooting night, too, especially in those final, like in the fourth. They were definitely missing some shots that I think against a full head of steam Warriors team that they're making.
For sure. I'd agree with that. Definitely. It was a little troubling, but I feel like they made good adjustments. I mean, the mid-range was there all game, so they just took it. We just talked about Trez, like... They ate where there was food.
Definitely.
Which was nice to see.
Yeah. And going off of Shea, like, he was great from the mid-range. Man, he cannot hesitate so much on open three-pointers.
He passed up a couple of them.
And one led directly to a turnover.
Yeah, which was bad. But again, hopefully that'll move up as the season goes on. I also think maybe against another team he would have taken it.
Yeah.
I think he was maybe nervous because it was the Warriors or something. I don't know. I'm not in his head. But it felt like, this is another note, down the stretch, we went scoreless for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which forced overtime basically in the fourth quarter. The team got really tight. There was just an extra like on offense there was this urgency, but it was like not good urgency.
No, and I mean we did the classic like just long passes turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Really like possessions where no one moves on, like on offense.
It was odd. They were waiting for kind of Lou to kick it into gear, which he did.
I know.
But still, it was like, let's maybe run. Someone had a great tweet that goes, Shea is the best person to run the offense because he actually runs the offense.
I agree. And we've talked about this in the past before. For whatever reason, whenever Shea is at the point, I just feel like there's more movement. And I, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I guess my justification has always been he's like so large and like so adept at playmaking that like if you get open, I think you know that you're catching the pass from him.
He's
like,
gonna
if you get open, he's going to find you.
100%. Clay and Durant combined for 64 points, which was bad, but no one else had more than 14.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we can live with that. Clay got hot late.
He did get hot late.
Which we were lucky to get kind of sleepy Clay in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which we kind of thought would maybe happen.
I thought Shea also, like, despite the box score numbers, I thought Shea played excellent defense on Clay.
Yeah. For what he was tasked with?
Yeah. He was able to keep up on him, even around, like the mirror screens and stuff. Kept a hand in his face at all times.
It was good to see.
Yeah.
So next, going into key matchups, we talked about how we were going to match up against Durant and Clay yesterday. We didn't really, but that didn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one really matched up that well, obviously.
I don't know. When you're playing a team with four or five all-stars,
it's hard.
You gotta figure two of them are going to... One to two of them is going to go
off.
It's
going to have a good day, definitely. And Clay only really picked his game up when Durant was out.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice for us.
Yeah.
Which really helped us out.
Definitely. Man, that defense that the Warriors, like, came out with in the fourth quarter was stifling.
Yeah, they were not trying to lose. A great matchup. Durant got his sixth foul because Trez had the ball, and Trez did Durant's own move, which is where you kind of hold the ball with both hands, and you rip across the defender's arm that's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a famous Durant thing. He always gets people called for it. That's how Durant got fouled out of the game.
He got his head.
It was the most poetic. Like, it was just so beautiful to see. You could tell Trez knew what he was doing, and yeah. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was so great to see.
Like, oh, man, another just foul, just while we're on the subject, was that great Lou Will tossing it up from the three-point line on the Kevon Looney.
There's no one better at drawing fouls, I don't think, other than James Harden.
Yeah.
Kerr having Looney and McKinney in crunch time really helped us out.
Yeah, so...
I'm not going to say bad coaching because it's Steve Kerr, but it was like McKinney was involved directly in two awful turnovers for them in overtime.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of time to touch on this, but like, is the Warriors bench the thinnest it's ever been this year?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it looks it.
Yeah.
Obviously, later they'll probably have...
They'll be fine.
They'll have Boogie coming off that bench,
yeah.
So it won't be the same. But our bench outscored them 56-39, out-rebounded them 21-16. We got five steals to their none.
Damn.
And put up four blocks on them.
Mostly all of those are from Trez, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Trez is not even a bench player.
But, I mean, it was a great matchup to really let our bench shine.
It really was. And they did. We did everything we needed to do to win. Steph did not play. Who cares? They still had Durant, Clay, and Draymond. We got the dub. Guys, coming up after this, we're going to be going to some Twitter Tuesdays about last night's game. There's a ton of stuff that's been happening. But first, make sure to follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram so you can get all of the Locked On Podcast Network stuff in one spot. It's great during games. There's breaking news and local perspective on your favorite teams. Instagram, you get a little longer stories and highlights and whatnot just because of the feed. So check it out, lockedon.net. Man, a lot happening on Twitter today.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because of the game. We beat the Warriors, which is fantastic, and I like that the narrative is not, wow, the Clippers are really good. It's, wow, the Warriors are imploding. Because I don't want people to really be honest yet. Hype-wise.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Not ready.
I want to stay under these covers.
Yeah.
But the biggest news...
we'll let people know in, like, January.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, this actually isn't big news at all, but this was funny. Someone tweeted at me who had made their account in May of this year, and they only tweet about people who say anti-Warrior stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I had just mentioned that the Clippers beat the Warriors, and this is the turnaround of 2018, and things are going to start to get better soon. And he said, without Curry and fouled out KD, yeah, nice win. What's the logic here? Are teams supposed to lose games when the other team's good players don't play?
Yeah.
Like, why be mad, dude?
I mean, it would be more impressive had they pulled out the win, I guess, just being like...
But the alternative was we lose without Steph playing.
Yeah.
Also, Durant had almost a triple-double with 33 points.
Yeah.
He fouled out on OT. Anyway, it's just interesting that I love the sports troll logic of like... It just was so funny. I was like, dude, you just deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. The big news, though, we'll go into the Mark Spears stuff first. There's a late game, this is from Mark Spears, late game exchange between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green carried into the locker room Monday night, with teammates loudly confronting Green for decision-making on final play of regulation. He fumbled the ball, and we had to go to overtime. Scene described as one of the most intense of this G-State era.
Wow.
Is this a thing, are you believing in this turmoil, or is this a thing where they just rip off 16 wins in a row after this?
I think definitely close to the latter. The thing is these guys are, they're consummate professionals.
For sure.
Really, I mean, like even Draymond, the least of which.
Still a professional,
a man who has had his genitals just broadcasted over the entirety
his
of the
fault.
Net.
Yeah. It,
also his fault. Is still like a consummate professional. So I think, if you think these guys like each other all the time, you're insane. You've never worked with coworkers.
Yeah, for sure.
You just, I don't know what job you have. Toll booth?
I think it's maybe a mixture of real turmoil and professional turmoil.
I think, yeah, and I do think that the pressure is high, but like, do I think that the Warriors are imploding? Absolutely not.
I don't either. There was apparently some stuff that Durant got thrown in his face by Draymond about like his free agency and stuff like that. Like people overheard some stuff and it's like, to me, it's like that makes it seem a little more actual turmoil-y, not full-blown, they're going to implode type thing.
I guess I agree with you. I just don't see how that would affect the season at all.
I agree.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, Durant is going to finish this season with Golden State, and they will most likely win another title. And after that, I mean, like, who cares? It really shouldn't matter for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't matter to Draymond Green. That should bear no merit.
For sure.
On, like, your relationship with another coworker.
You still have Steph and Clay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And Alphonso McKinney.
But I do think that it could, you know, I do think beyond this season, like obviously if this collection of guys is getting stale or they're not really enjoying it anymore. I mean, I think it's a lot harder to get people to stay for a pay cut.
Yeah.
When the working conditions aren't as good.
Definitely. I think Steph not being there really added to this too. I think Steph plays in this game. They don't have these shouting matches.
No, totally. And I also just think that they wouldn't have crumbled the way that they did. That last
possession was really bad in regulation for them.
Yeah, even when he's not hot. I mean, you know, this isn't an original take or anything, but he like is like a pillar of that team. Like just his presence makes that team better. He's like what I hope Shea is, not even as a scorer or anything, but just as a team leader.
He's their Trez, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly think they're probably just going to, you know, like I said, rip off like 10 wins in a row or something like that after this.
They just have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, they're going to be okay. Tomer Azarli, asked Clay about the defense in LA, and he said, they're good, they're nothing special.
Ooh.
Well, you only put up 116 points in overtime, so I think that's fine. That's less than 25 points a quarter, so I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the only thing that makes this defense like average is like the careless turnovers and stuff that we do give up.
Yeah.
Those are the only things that maybe demeans this defense from something special to something
truly great.
Yeah.
You were right. You nailed it with the defensive rating stuff yesterday. We ended up top 10 after this game, I believe.
Yeah.
And they're around 16 or 17. Do you think our rivalry with the Warriors is better now than during Lob City?
I mean, here's the thing.
Or more enjoyable to watch?
Here's the thing. I haven't really thought of this as a rivalry post-2014.
For sure. I mean, we didn't win since then.
Yeah. It just hasn't really been a real thing to me, even in the Lob City era. But I do think that this matchup and like this, I mean, obviously our guys still get heated about it.
And theirs. This is like as mad as Clay gets.
Yeah, like to play this team. So I do think in that regard, if you do think of it as a rivalry or whatever, it is much, to me, it's more interesting to watch.
And it's more fun to watch because we have a little more shooting from the outside. And like if the lobs aren't working, we still have a chance to win.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, our guys just like each other and like to play together. And I like watching any guy on this team do well.
Yeah, someone had a great tweet where they were like, any one of these guys, when they start getting hot, I'm hyped.
Yeah.
Like,
and the team is hyped around them. So, yeah, I mean, I do think it's more fun to watch, but I just think that this team right now is really, really fun to watch.
You and I were texting during this game. Doc seems rejuvenated.
He does. He does.
He's never had this organic of a team growth before.
No, and I mean, you said something that like he's never really grown a team.
Yeah.
Which I think is really apt. Like, it, you know, he's used to these like big three kind of teams, mm-hmm. and this is like a collection of like really solid guys. Maybe not all. I mean, not really all stars.
Yeah.
But a solid collection of guys and young talent that they, I mean, that he has legitimately gotten to develop.
For sure.
And will get to continue to develop. And like you were talking about, you keep bringing up like the hockey line changeups. There were five different lineups last night that played all around 3 minutes.
Damn. Yeah. That's like the hockey shift.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
So I don't know. He's definitely trying stuff out, and he had recently stated that when he called Sin and Ty back from the G League that they were going to be putting more of an emphasis on getting these guys some playing time, that they were ready for some playing time, and I feel like he's making good on that promise.
Yeah, his rotations have been great. I love the tinkering. I love that, like, hey, whatever's working, we're doing it. He doesn't seem as stuck in his ways. It seems like it's born from a process of last year having to cobble together these lineups, and then this year being like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
I really understand this team. He has such a feel for the team.
Absolutely.
Which I think shows in like Gortat not starting and then starting, and still the relationship being okay. We could go on for hours about this, but we have to get into our NBA wrap-up. But first, Will, you bet on sports.
All the time, man.
Borderline.
What do you think? I'm so rich.
That is very true. You're the richest person I know. Well, how do you bet on sports?
I mean, you know, I know a guy, he knows a guy.
I know a dude, he takes me to the place, and I put the bet down. If you want a safer way to check out sports betting, check out mybookie.com. They will match your deposit dollar for dollar after you use the promo code enterlockedon to activate the offer. MyBookie Online, check it out. That's MYBOOKIE. Don't forget to use the promo code enterlockedon. You play, you win. You get paid.
Man, that sounds so much safer. I'd probably still have both my thumbs if I knew about mybookie.com.
Probably.
Getting into some wrap-up stuff, we're going to talk about my favorite probably matchup of the night.
Yeah.
My guilty pleasure pals.
guilty pleasure pals.
Sword over the Raptors.
Will.
126 to 110.
Just a heads up for the rest of the segment, Will wrote all of these headlines, so strap in.
So even without Mirotić, the Pels were able to kind of pour it on. AD with a monster 25, 20, and 6.
Jesus.
I had to double check that box score because I was like, that seems broken.
That's a lot.
Drew Holiday added 29 with 16 assists.
Damn.
He is really becoming such a great playmaker and facilitator.
Yeah.
Etuan Moore stepped up. He had 30. Randall was in the starting lineup tonight. He carved out a cool 17, 12, and 4.
I love Randall.
Yeah. This Pels team, man, they've had their ups and downs. I hope that they can trend on the upwards.
For sure.
You know, there definitely are still some questions about that bench.
Huge win, though.
Huge win over the Raptors. Pascal Siakam, favorite of Brian Windhorst, it seems.
Yeah.
was the highest scorer for the Raptors with 22, which, I mean, you love to see young guys thriving, especially when you play along people like Kawhi and Lowry. To have a big scoring night. Kawhi added 26 and 2, so no slouch. And Ibaka, his resurgence continues.
He's rejuvenated, dude.
19, 14, and 2 for a cool double-double. It seemed like it was a really poor shooting night for the Raptors. In their defense, they were like sub 30% from three. I think Lowry might have finished with like 4 points.
Ooh, that's not a good.
Yeah, so that wasn't great. It wasn't all the Pels stifling defense. But, you know, the Raptors bench mob still really showed out. They outscored the Pels 42-40.
That's something you can hang your hat on for them. The Timberwolves got out of the woods against the Nets.
Oh, wow.
121-13. This game was marred with a horrific injury. What looked like a horrific injury, actually, to Chris LeVert. He had 20, 10, and 8 before landing on his leg very awkwardly. I do not recommend watching the video. But fantastic news today. No fractures.
That's so great.
Only moderate ligament damage will return this year.
It appeared just like from his reaction and the awkwardness of like the
Dude.
Land. It's nothing as graphic as like the Gordon Hayward injury, but it looked bad. Just looking at it like.
I mean, I think it was, I don't know who it was, but there's clips of a player crying after the free throws after just watching this happen. D'Lo had a fat night, with 31, 2, and 6. Wolves had three players in 20-point range. Teague with 24, Rose with 23, Cat with 25 and 21.
Big.
Which is big.
I mean, they're free, you know? Lord Butler is no longer king of the castle.
I've got a hot take for you no one's ever said before.
Yeah?
Do you think this is a... This is a little phrase I'm inventing here. Do you think this is addition by subtraction?
Oh, man, you just blew my mind with that. I don't know, maybe, I guess. We're going to hurry these next few up. I'll let you read this headline because I think you're probably pretty proud of it.
The Thunder stole my sunshine with a victory over the Suns, 101-118.
There you go, guys. Ariza led the Suns with 21. Ayton had 14. Our boy Devin Booker had 19, 4-6.
Paul George, great game.
Him and Schroeder.
I feel like he's been a little up and down this season. Last season, too, really. But he contributed 32, 8, and 6. Schroeder with a chill 25 and 9.
It's awesome. It's cool to see like this move work out.
Yeah. Do you think the Thunder are on the right track?
Yeah. I think this gives the second tier guys times to play and figure out their roles without Westbrook and maybe flourishing in that offense as a whole.
100%. I was never really worried about them.
I kind of was just because I don't really like Schroeder as a person.
That's fair.
But I think that was my personal judgment clouding how good he is at actual basketball.
Yeah.
Which I will take blame for. The Jazz tune up the Grizzlies, 96-88. That one's my favorite one. Gobert with a classic 15-16 game. Ingles led the way for the Jazz with 19. Favors had 12-8. All around, just a solid effort from Utah.
Yeah.
Mike Conley Jr. was the Mama Grizz tonight with 24. That has to catch on in Memphis. Please, I want that to catch on so bad. Gasol had 16 with only 5 boards. Jerry Jackson Jr. continued his great rookie year with your 10 and 11. He looks like a great pick for them.
Yeah. Do you think that he will be do you think he's rookie of the year material or candidate?
I think so. He'll probably be top 4.
I mean, he'll finish with good minutes, and I mean, he's like I don't know if he's averaging a double-double, but it seems like anytime I check the box score, he has a double-double.
He's close. All right, now read this last headline.
Kings keep it real over the Spurs, 104-99. I say keep it real because I think people are questioning the legitimacy of this hot Kings start.
We weirdly love the Kings,
and I think that they're, you know, I think that it's is it 100% real? It's semi-real.
The realness is the essence of real is there. DeMar DeRozan did his best with 23-8 assists. LaMarcus Aldridge with 14-18 boards, which is cool to see. No one else really picked up the slack though.
Yeah, and I think Derek White is back now.
Yes.
So hopefully their defense is going to be stepped up back to, you know, that classic Spurs basketball.
Bogdan Bogdanovich led the Kings with 22. Willie Cauley-Stein, a pod fave, 13-13. De'Aaron Fox with 19. 6 guys for the Kings in double figures. Second best team in the Pacific Division behind the Clippers?
Probably.
We say yes. Guys, that has been us for Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week. Will, what do we have for these guys tomorrow?
So tomorrow is our Wednesday segment, Parallel Universe, or What Could Have Been Wednesday.
What happened?
We analyze a different world where things turn out a little bit differently.
We're going to be doing that, some Clippers culture talk, and maybe some hot takes. If you have anything to say about the victory against the Warriors, leave us a message at 707-532-4654. Guys, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.